On May 20th, the U.S. Senate voted 90-6 to deny President Obama the $80 million he requested to close America's Naval Detention Center at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and to bar the transfer of detainees held there to the United States and its territories. Upon taking office, Mr. Obama pledged to close the Guantanamo facility by January 2010. Both Democrats and Republicans were critical of the White House for not presenting a detailed plan for what will be done with the 240 Guantanamo prisoners. In the debate that followed, legislators and commentators expressed concern over the threat posed by these detainees, virtually all of whom are accused by the U.S. government of engaging in terrorist activities. The day after the Senate vote, the New York Times published a front-page article titled, "One in Seven Free Detainees Rejoins Fight," report finds, confirming the fears of many in Congress and around the nation that closing Guantanamo would have grave consequences. However, as the media watch group Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, or FAIR, pointed out, the story was based on an unsubstantiated Pentagon report leaked to the paper, which failed to present evidence for its findings. The Times reporter for this story, Elizabeth Buemiller, did not provide readers background on the many challenges made to the findings of similar Pentagon studies, which were widely disputed. Between the Lines, Scott Harris spoke with Peter Hart, activism director with FAIR, who explains why he believes the New York Times was acting as a propaganda arm of the Pentagon for its failure to substantiate the Pentagon's dubious assertions.
The New York Times story was very similar to reporting that's been done on earlier Pentagon reports of this nature. I think this is maybe the fifth or sixth time the Pentagon has come out with new numbers to try to prove that Guantanamo detainees pose a unique threat to the war on terror. So this particular piece came, front page piece, on, as you said, May 21st, one in seven free detainees rejoins fight, report finds. It was written by Elizabeth Buemiller, who was the Times correspondent covering George W. Bush for part of his presidency and now is the Pentagon correspondent. And the Pentagon leaked this, or someone at the Pentagon leaked this report to the Times in order to get that front page billing. Right around the same time, Obama and Cheney were giving what the media were calling dueling speeches on terror policy. And that one in seven number became the talk of cable news that day and for the next couple of days. It's intended to tell us that Guantanamo detainees are unusually radicalized, unusually dangerous, and if let go, as you say, they would pose this threat to either U.S. interests at home or abroad. So that was the point that the Pentagon was trying to make, and I think the New York Times, by really sort of mishandling this story, they gave the Pentagon exactly the kind of rollout for this that they wanted, so that the backdrop to that Obama speech was Guantanamo is still filled with dangerous places, and no matter what he says about closing it, it's going to be difficult and potentially dangerous to Americans.
In terms of the journalism there at the New York Times, what kinds of fact checks were done here to this leak, which, as you said, came initially from the Pentagon itself?
Yeah, it looks like, you know, because the Pentagon released this report a couple days afterwards, so the jump that the Times got on the news was minimal. This was really done for the Pentagon's benefit. It wasn't because the Times got a unique perspective on this. And what I think what you would fail the Times for is the lesson is sort of in the lead. The two claims that are made right in the headline, one in seven freed detainees rejoins fight. So you have two facts laid out, this one in seven number and rejoining the fight. And two of these things are very problematic. When you broke down the numbers that were available from the Pentagon, this one in seven number looks to be wildly exaggerated. It's hard to tell exactly how exaggerated because they don't name most of the detainees that they're talking about. Most of them cannot be named because they're apparently too dangerous. The second problem with the story is that when you're saying somebody rejoined the fight in the war on terror, you're saying that they were terrorists to begin with. And the interesting thing about this is that the author of the piece, Elizabeth Buemiller, went on television the day the Times printed it and sort of walked it back, saying, you know, rejoins might not be the right language to use in a piece like this because we don't know if these people were terrorists in the first place, which is why the Times went on to change the headline on their website and change some of the language in the actual report. As we pointed out, the Times seemed to acknowledge in the very beginning of the article that this was going to have political impact, and then by the way they reported it, they were sure to give it exactly the political impact that people on the right and at the Pentagon wanted it to have.
Would I get from this leak, the underside of the story, that there are people at the Pentagon who are trying to undermine Obama's policy of closing Guantanamo? Is that something that is certainly hidden here someplace?
You have to suspect that that's what's going on. At least that's part of it. And they knew, you know, we are not so naive to not understand the political dynamic here, that getting something on the front page of the New York Times in that right corner means that it's going to have unusual impact in the rest of the media, which is exactly what this story had, which is exactly the tactic from the run-up to the Iraq War, for example. You leak something to the New York Times, and then you have people who can go out and say, look, the New York Times is reporting today that X, Y, and Z. So I think it's a good guess that there were people inside the Pentagon who wanted these numbers out. The Times report and some of the other reports suggested that there were people who had mixed rationales for this, that there were some people who thought sitting on the numbers looked bad, and then there were other people who thought getting the numbers out is going to make this look good. Interestingly, a couple of days after this was, almost a week, actually a little more than a week after this story ran, there was an op-ed co-authored by Peter Bergen, who's a terrorism expert and journalist, and the point of the op-ed in the New York Times was to say that most of the terror threats that are listed in this Pentagon report are vague, and a good number of them don't have anything to do with the United States. As he pointed out, something like 11 men named in this report are Saudis who are on a most wanted list put out by the Saudi kingdom. 9 of them are on that most wanted list because they're anti-royalists in Saudi Arabia. So these are not necessarily people who pose a threat to the United States or who are engaged in any activity that you could consider against U.S. Policy or targeting U.S. military personnel. So it's a really vague Pentagon report. They've all been vague, and this one is no different. The curious thing is to look at the New York Times and where they put this and the effect that it had. And, you know, when you look at all that and you add it all up, you suspect, as you say, that there are people at the Pentagon who really wanted this out.
That was Peter Hart, activism director with Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. FAIR's report, New York Times Pentagon Propaganda, Misleading Report on Guantanamo and Terrorism, can be read online at FAIR.org. For more information, call their office at area code 212-633-6700.